Welcome to Pit Cop Podcast. Today we're strapping in for a deep dive into, well, one of the most polarizing topics in modern health, the Atkins diet controversy.
It's a huge one. I mean, few diets have generated such passionate arguments for so long.
Decades, really. And our sources, which come directly from the in-depth analyses on PitCop, they show us exactly why this isn't just a simple disagreement.
Oh, not at all. This is a massive clash of ideas. You've got conventional nutritional science on one side, and then this pretty radical approach to metabolic health on the other. And we're talking about serious medical claims.
We spent a lot of time going over the PitCop source material for this, and it's an incredibly detailed breakdown. The science, the clinical findings, all the health risks.
So our mission today is, you know, pretty clear. We want to guide you through both sides of this, the pro and the con arguments. We're really zeroing in on the critical health details so that you can walk away and make a truly informed choice.
And the stakes are genuinely high here. This isn't just an academic debate. People are claiming serious life-altering health consequences. It's a very real controversy. And for anyone who wants to explore this level of research for themselves, all this detailed info comes from the bestseller ebooks on the PitCop ebook store. They're designed to help transform your health, and you can find them at www.pitcop.com/books.
And before we really jump into the most alarming parts of this, please make sure you subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. It really helps us keep delivering this kind of analysis.
Okay, let's get into it. We have to start with the most serious accusations, the legal and medical alarms.
This is where it gets really intense. Mm-hmm. We have to go back to May 2004. There was a man in Florida, and he actually sued Atkins Nutritionals.
He sued them directly. And what was his claim?
It wasn't just a minor complaint. He claimed the diet had, and this is a quote, wrecked his heart.
Wrecked his heart? Wow.
Yeah. He said the damage was so severe he needed an angioplasty and a stent put in. I mean, that's a major medical procedure to open up a blocked artery. He was demanding they put warning labels on their products.
Like a pack of cigarettes.
Exactly. And that single lawsuit, it just sent shockwaves. It forced everyone to take a much closer look at the data.
So what did that closer look actually reveal? What were the big risks they found?
Well, it immediately brought the issue of bad cholesterol to the front and center.
LDL cholesterol.
Precisely. The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, or PCRM, they started looking at patient outcomes. And they found something pretty startling. Nearly 30% of people on the Atkins diet saw their LDL cholesterol shoot up by over 10%.
30%? That's not a small number.
Yeah.
That suggests for a pretty significant group of people, this diet is actively making a key heart risk factor worse.
It's a huge minority. And this wasn't just numbers on a page. The source material shows that some people actually had to drop out of diet studies because the side effects were so severe.
What kind of side effects?
We're talking about things like sudden chest pain and, you know, medically confirmed dangerously high cholesterol levels. It implies that for some people, maybe with a certain genetic makeup, flooding their system with saturated fat is a really, really bad idea.
And this explains why the big organizations like the American Heart Association felt they had to get involved.
Oh, absolutely. They were raising the alarm about systemic risks. They talked about things like cardiac arrhythmias, that's an irregular heartbeat, and in very extreme rare cases, even sudden death.
And their concerns went beyond just the heart, right? I mean, when you cut out entire food groups.
That's a critical point. They were worried the diet skimps on essential nutrients. And that's not a small thing. You're missing out on B vitamins, fiber, calcium. The lack of fiber, especially when you're eating a lot more red meat, has long been linked to a higher risk of colon cancer.
And what about the kidneys? That was another huge area of concern.
It was. The theory is that processing all that extra protein puts a major strain on the kidneys. They have to work overtime. Now, for a healthy person, maybe that's fine. But for someone with an underlying, maybe even undiagnosed kidney issue, it could accelerate damage.
And then there were the, let's say, less life-threatening but still really unpleasant side effects.
Oh, yeah. The notorious keto breath.
Right. And constipation from the lack of fiber, general fatigue. It's a high price to pay just to give up bread.
It really is. Which, you know, brings us to the big question. If all these warnings are so serious, why does this diet still have millions of passionate followers?
Okay, so let's pivot. Let's look at the defense, because there is a very strong counterargument. You have defenders like Anthony Colpo, who say most of these criticisms are basically just myths.
And their argument is fascinating. It starts with an appeal to history, to evolution. Kolpa points out that for most of human history, we thrived on meat and low-carb vegetables.
Long before bread and pasta were even a thing.
Exactly. The argument is that our bodies are literally designed to use fat for fuel, and that the modern low-fat, high-carb diet is sort of an evolutionary mistake.
And they tackle the heart disease risk head-on. They don't shy away from it.
Not at all. The source material shows that their whole point is that a low-carb diet, when it's done correctly, that's the key part, can actually help prevent heart disease.
Done correctly meaning what, exactly?
Correctly, meaning it's rich in high-quality fats. Think omega-3s from fish, avocado, olive oil, and tons of low-carb vegetables for antioxidants. They argue the LDL spikes you see in some studies are from people just eating, you know, bacon and processed cheese all day.
So the villain isn't fat itself. It's the combination of fat with something else.
It's fat plus carbs. That's the core of their physiological defense. See, when you eat a big plate of pasta, your body releases a ton of insulin.
The fat storage hormone.
Right. And when insulin is high, your body can't burn fat for fuel. It just stores it. But if you cut the carbs, insulin stays low, and your body is forced to switch to burning fat. Fat becomes useful fuel, not something that's just stored.
That is a compelling argument.
Yeah.
But what about those long-term fears, the kidneys and the bones? How do they counter that?
Well, the kidney argument is pretty pragmatic. They basically say, look at bodybuilders.
Okay.
They've been eating extremely high-protein diets for decades, way more protein than the average Atkins dieter. And, you know, there hasn't been some kind of widespread kidney apocalypse, so the risk might be overstated, at least for people with healthy kidneys to start with.
And the bone health issue.
It's a similar idea. They say high protein is perfectly fine for your bones as long as you're getting enough calcium and minerals from other sources.
Like leafy green vegetables.
Exactly. The risk only shows up if you eat tons of protein and, like, no vegetables, which they would argue is the wrong way to do the diet anyway.
And finally, we have to talk about that boogeyman word, ketosis.
Right. Everyone confuses it with something dangerous, but the pro-Atkins side says nutritional ketosis is a completely safe, controlled state of fat burning. It's not the same as diabetic ketoacidosis, which is a life-threatening emergency in people with uncontrolled type 1 diabetes. They're two totally different things.
It's just so clear that the science here is messy. There's powerful evidence on both sides. And that's really why we do these deep dives, using the Pidcot sources to help you cut through all that noise. And if you want more of this kind of analysis, you can always find it at www.pitcot.com.
So we've laid out the whole battle. Who's right? I mean, that's the million-dollar question. And the truth is, science doesn't give us a simple one-size-fits-all answer.
Some studies definitely show Atkins works for quick weight loss. And it's often really good at lowering triglycerides, which is another big heart disease risk factor.
But you just can't ignore the other studies, the ones that highlight the potential for nutrient deficiencies and, for some people, serious heart trouble.
So what does that mean for you, the person listening, trying to figure out what to do?
The main takeaway from the Pidcot source material is this. It depends completely on the individual. Your health history, your goals, your daily life, it all matters. What works for your friend might be a disaster for you.
And that brings up maybe the biggest issue of all. Can you actually stick with it long term?
Sustainability. Yeah, that's the real test of any diet. And Atkins is, especially at the beginning, incredibly restrictive. No bread, no pasta, almost no fruit.
Forget about going out for pizza with friends or family holidays.
It becomes socially really difficult. That's why our sources show so many people just jump ship. They can't maintain it. And then, of course, the weight comes right back. The classic yo-yo effect.
So the final recommendation from most health experts is, unsurprisingly, balance.
It's simple, but it's powerful. A balanced plate, some lean protein, lots of colorful vegetables, some whole grains, healthy fats. That's the most sustainable approach for most people.
But the source does suggest that for some people, Atkins could be used strategically.
Right. Use it as a tool, a way to reset your habits, maybe break a sugar addiction, understand where hidden carbs are in your diet, but then transition from that stripped phase into a more balanced long-term plan.
So the final word is be smart.
Exactly. Talk to your doctor, know your own personal risks, and maybe most importantly, listen to your body. You have to make this choice with care and with your own heart health in mind.
We really hope this deep dive helped you get past the headlines on the Atkins debate. If you are curious about transforming your health and you want more science, tips, and meal plans, remember to check out our digital library.
Visit www.pitcot.com today for access to all of our research.
Thank you for listening to the Pidcot podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Also, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Also, press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us.